There was a young Catholic lady who was dating a young Protestant man, but she did not want to marry him since he wasn't a Catholic. So she went to her very devout Catholic mother who prayed the rosary every day and said, "Mom, pray for this fellow. I want him to become a Catholic." So the mother said, "Yes, I'll pray the rosary every day for his conversion." So a month went by, and the daughter came home and said, "Mom, it's working. He's now going to Mass with me every Sunday." The mother said, "That's wonderful. Let's pour it on now. I'm going to get all my friends to pray for his conversion. I'm going to get a few Masses said for him." So another month goes by, and the daughter comes home and says, "Mom, this is fantastic. He's starting to meet with Father Murphy for instructions in the faith. Keep up the prayers." The mother said, "Not only that, I'm going to get the Carmelites and the Poor Clares to pray for his conversion. We're going to get him yet." And so a week goes by. The daughter comes home and says, "Mom, stop all the prayers. Tell the nuns to stop praying. Tell your friends to stop praying." The mother said, "What's wrong now?" She says, "He wants to become a priest." Obviously, that is a dramatic conversion, but not as dramatic as the feast day we celebrate today. The conversion of St. Paul, one of the greatest events in the 2,000-year history of the Catholic Church. Imagine the greatest persecutor of the Church becoming the greatest apostle, the greatest missionary, one of the greatest saints in the history of the Church. And that was the power of prayer, the power of the early Church praying for him. Saul of Tarsus was converted. Now Saul, of course, was the one who oversaw the death and the stoning of Saint Stephen. He was the one on his way to Damascus to arrest men and women that were Christians. He felt it was his duty to eliminate Christianity, to get rid of it. Paul was so zealous, Saul of Tarsus so zealous in his anti-Christian sentiment. He considered the Christian heretics, apostates, and he did everything he could to try to crush the early Church. But the early Church prayed, I'm sure prayed for his conversion. And on one occasion, as he was on his way to Damascus to arrest men and women and throw them into prison for being Christians, Jesus intervened. He appeared to Saul of Tarsus. He knocked him off his horse. He blinded him and said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Saul said, "Who are you, Lord?" He says, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." See, Jesus identifies himself with each one of us. Jesus identifies himself with the Church. If we persecute the Catholic Church, we are persecuting Christ. If we persecute a Christian, we're persecuting Christ. So Saul was blinded. He was told to go to Ananias. Ananias then baptized him. Saul regained his sight, and he became a Christian. He then would go out to spread the faith through Rome and Corinth and Ephesus and Thessalonica and Philippi and all the Mediterranean. So Paul became the greatest apostle. He became the greatest missionary. He labored, they say, for about 30 years until he was executed by the sword. If you look up and see the stained glass window of the symbol of St. Paul, you see the scriptures, because he wrote about a third of the New Testament. And then the sword of the Spirit, which also represents how he was beheaded by the sword. So the conversion of St. Paul should give us hope. We're in the year of St. Paul. The Church has declared this whole year as a year to honor St. Paul. And if St. Paul can be converted from Saul of Tarsus to St. Paul the Apostle, then anybody can be converted by the grace of God. If we pray for them and do sacrifices for them, anybody can be converted. There's always hope. And that's why the Church says today, let's celebrate the feast day of St. Paul universally. Instead of the Sunday liturgy, let's do the liturgy of the conversion of St. Paul. That's why we had the readings today of St. Paul's conversion. So imagine this great saint who gave his life for Christ. After persecuting the Church, he then became the greatest missionary. Well, today is also the day that all the bishops of our country and Bishop Laverde have asked us to fight this Freedom of Choice Act that is trying to be introduced in our government. Hopefully, when you came in, you got the information that explains what this Freedom of Choice Act is. And hopefully, each one of you, every registered voter over 18, has gotten the postcards. We want to have you take a moment now, and on behalf of all the bishops of our country, and Bishop Laverde and myself, I ask you to please take a moment now to fill out these postcards to our senators and representative to show them our opposition of this most radical abortion legislation ever to be considered in the United States. The ushers will now come down to hand out pens. If you did not get the postcard, if you're a registered voter, did not get the postcard, raise your hand. And if you need a pen, raise your hand. The ushers are coming around right now. Let me just explain to you what this Freedom of Choice Act talks about. The bishops remind us that we're facing the most serious threat to pro-life policies ever, this so-called Freedom of Choice Act. This bill would create a right to abortion the government could not limit and bring about a national abortion policy far worse than the U.S. Supreme Court Roe v. Wade decision. For the first time, abortion will become an entitlement the government must fund and promote. Citizens would lose the freedom they now have to enact even modest regulation on the abortion industry. Again, raise your hand if you did not get the postcards, so that you can get the postcards, and then please fill them out at this time. Because what we'll do then is we will give these to the bishop. The bishop will hand deliver these to the Senate and to the Congress next week. So it's very important that we get these filled out. And you'll notice the stickers are on both sides for the senators. Some of you have different representatives, so please fill out the name of your representative on the one side of the postcard. If you don't know it, just fill out the other side and we'll look it up for you based upon your address. Because we have to send a message to our president, to the Congress, to the Senate, that we will not stand for this terrible Freedom of Choice Act. So here are five things that would happen if the Freedom of Choice Act were to pass. Number one, it would eliminate regulations that protect women from unsafe clinics and unscrupulous abortionists. Number two, it would force American taxpayers like ourselves to fund abortions. Number three, it would force every state to allow partial birth abortions. The sponsors of this bill have said a primary purpose of this bill is to ensure that killing partially born children will again be permitted nationwide. Number four, this bill will run roughshod over the conscience rights of physicians, nurses, and hospitals, including Catholic hospitals, that oppose abortion on religious, moral, or ethical grounds. And number five, it'll strip parents of their right and responsibility to be involved in their minor daughter's abortion decision. So simply put, if this Freedom of Choice Act becomes law, it will put at risk all the widely supported laws that for the last 35 years have promoted women's health, ensured informed consent, protected minors, ensured parental involvement, safeguarded rights of conscience, and respected desire of most citizens not to support abortion with their tax dollars. This Freedom of Choice Act also explicitly encourages challenges in court against any law or regulation that protects unborn children and their mothers and families in the abortion context. The Freedom of Choice Act's tentacles would reach far beyond federal policies to every state and local law on regulation having to do with abortion. So again, it's without doubt the most radical abortion legislation ever considered in the United States. The abortion supporters have been trying to pass this law since 1989, and now they have a Congress more disposed than any in recent years to pass this bill, and a new president who said that he will sign the measure into law. So what can you do? Well, obviously, fill this out, and after Mass, drop it in the box. The ushers will have the box in the back of church. Then we'll gather all these, give them to the bishop. He will hand deliver these next week. But not only sign the postcard, what's even more effective is to write a letter. In addition to the postcard, also write a thoughtful letter to the president, the congressmen and women, or your senators. Make a phone call or send an email message. Write a letter to the editor of your local paper. Call a radio talk show. Speak at a public event. The bishops are also encouraging you to meet with your representatives and senators, to place ads in the local paper. So thank you so much for your support of this. The unborn children, thank you. All the children whose lives we're trying to save will one day thank you. Again, thanks so much for taking this moment to fill out these postcards for us so we can give these to the bishop this week. Again, on the way out today, you can just give them to the ushers, put them in the big boxes at the back doors. So again, on this feast day of St. Paul's conversion, I do want to ask you to pray for all world leaders, for their conversion through the intercession of St. Paul, to pray for our president, to pray for our vice president, to pray for this new administration. If St. Paul could be converted, anybody can be converted. And each of us is in daily need of ongoing conversion. We ourselves are most in need, I'm sure, of conversion of heart. So let's pray for our spouses, our children, our grandchildren. Let us pray for especially those in public office, that through the intercession of the great St. Paul, we all will be converted to the Lord. God bless you.